Well, it's just lovely to be here. An opportunity to reflect upon some things together, and I just love that we've been able to be here this morning. On June the 1st of last year, Wendy and I commenced a sabbatical year. We put down our main responsibilities that we had, and we have enjoyed a period of rest, a refreshment, and a time to rethink. It's going to continue a bit further to the end of May, but I like Bob's illustration for a sabbatical year. He said when the farmer and the agricultural society, you can imagine that the sowing and the reaping was the main task of their day. But when they had a seventh year where the land went to rest, what would they do? Well, they would fix things, wouldn't they, that they didn't have time to do. They would have more rest. And really, that's the idea of sabbatical, a bit of a time to pause, to think, and to do some of the things that maybe, well, we haven't had time to do. It started for me with a break, a holiday, which I enjoyed. When I enjoyed for about 2.5 months. And then we had this learning experience. It was called Blacktown Baptist Church. It was a remarkable 5 months where we went there and we had to look, as I just appreciate the prayer that Andrew did say about Blacktown, where I looked into the history of the church to prepare the church, and it was really important in many ways that, if you don't know, Westview was either a church split from there or a church plant. It depends on how you view things. Westview came from Blacktown. And while I was there, Blacktown had their 84th church anniversary. And with my purpose to find a new pastor for them, I went back into the history. And I did see some disturbing patterns, which results in Blacktown Baptist really being known as one of the more toxic and dangerous churches for Baptists in New South Wales. And my conviction was the church was that way because it had no common understanding of the church's purpose. It's probably just fair to say it had many purposes. For as many people were there, that was the number of purposes. And they were actually working against each other. This was not helped by the fact that over a 25-year period, they had more than 12 different pastors there. Because there was no clear understanding of purpose, the focus was on keeping things the way they were. Let's keep doing things the way we did it because that's what churches do. And why would you change anything? Why would you introduce any sort of change unless you had a purpose in doing it? And so, with a focus on the past, because what churches do, that's what they continued. They had things they valued, but little direction. Well, I mean, what do we say yes to? What do we say no to? And there are so many good things that we can do in our world. What do we say yes to and what do we say no to unless we have a picture of where we want to go? This was, they would see the day that they had a full Sunday school. I'm talking 200 plus kids. They had about 400 people coming to church on Sunday. And that memory of the past was causing great sadness today because they were looking back to that day. That was in the 70s probably. I think it's true that for any church, if you don't have a vision for the future for the church, you grab hold of the vision you had in the past and you long for that somehow, that you find that and we get stuck in the past. My experience there and in my reading and studying about church health affirms to me one of the most important things I think we can do is have a common understanding about our purpose, our mission, our values, and the future vision for the church. Do you know the elders of the church meet every week? Every week. You might think, what do they do? Well, let me tell you. We read the Bible together. We talk and we pray. It's the three things we do. We read the Bible together, we talk and we pray. We talk a lot about you. Okay? We talk a lot about you. We talk about our future. Over the years, I can remember times when we just make up scenarios. I remember one time with David and Bob, and we said, imagine we were a church in a small town, and we wanted to reach our community. What would we do? What would we learn from there? Is there anything we can bring here to Doonside to learn from that? We would theorise, we would philosophise, we would dream, we'd imagine what could be. And in doing so, we were honing our understanding of what the church's purpose, mission, values and vision is. And we would share these things with the deacons, and we would think it through together. We would test our discussions with the church here as we think through things and as we read the scriptures, as we pray. Now, Westview Church, Westview Baptist, has, for over 37 years of its history, experienced a remarkable stability amongst the leadership and the membership. The outcome of the teaching, of the stories you've heard us speak about, and hopefully the things that you've seen reflected in our lives, has been taught, it's been a part of who we are. This has been our practice in the past, and I hope it's going to be our practice in the future. But I suppose what I'm trying to encourage the eldership, and later on we brought the deacons on board, and now the whole church, I would like to make sure that we make more concrete amongst everybody what our purpose is, our mission, our values and our vision, so that we all might understand where we're going as a church, where we're heading. And I think it's more important today than it's ever been in many ways. We're in an era where there's a lot of change in our society. Now I'm 51 and I just can't remember in the last decade the amount of so much change in the first 40 years of my life. There's a lot of change. And what we've done in the past may not be suitable for our future. We can't just have a vision of what we were in the past and sort of hope that it's going to happen again somehow. We need to be active in trying to understand what we are going to be doing so we can focus on where to go. It's important that we do this together. We as a Baptist church, if you're used to other churches that aren't Baptist, you need to understand that the church body is the final authority. It is not the leadership. The church body, with under the scriptures and through the Spirit of God's leading, is the final authority. It's not me, it's not JJ, it's not the lead, not the leadership. You are the final authority. And we need to be mindful of that and humble. It's my hope that we are going to go through this process, and what I'm hoping is that the next RAP meeting, a congregational meeting, we'll be able to affirm these things that we're talking about today. And that sometime in April and August, with our anniversary, we're going to almost celebrate as we go forward this way. So let me lay some things before you. Some of it will not be new. And there's a slide maybe about purpose, Bill, if you mind. When I talk about purpose, I'm talking about why we exist. It gives the biggest question, it's the biggest question, both individually and corporately, why are we here? And we are suggesting something like this. Westview Baptist Church exists to bring glory to God as a community of faith in Western Sydney. Think about purpose, about why we exist. Let me give you an illustration. Think about, why did Jesus come to earth? What was his purpose? Have a think about, what was Jesus' purpose in coming to earth? Well, if you've said to save sinners like you and me, you're almost right. You're wrong, actually, but you're almost right. No. What Jesus' main purpose was not just to come and save sinners. In John 17:1, Jesus says, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. In Jesus' death, his life and death, the whole reason he came was to bring glory to his Father. And he's actually saying, Father, can you give me glory so I can give you the glory? In the reading today that Gretchen read from John 21, how was Peter going to be Peter was going to glorify God in his death. So we have, as a church, for many years now, recognised that our purpose as a church is to give glory to God. It's been in our bulletins for many years. And so we as a church exist to bring glory to God as a community of faith in Western Sydney. Western Sydney, because this is where we are. It's not Western Australia. We're not in Western Australia. We're in Western Sydney. God has chosen to bring us here together. That's the reason we have a church here. It's a community of faith because we want to give God the glory. It doesn't mean that we are not thinking about overseas or globally. We can send people overseas, but it starts here. This is where it starts. Let's think about our mission. Our mission, therefore, comes from our purpose. What's our purpose? It was to bring glory to God. Well, how do we go about pursuing this? How do we go striving towards this? How do we use our lives, our resources, for God's purpose, for the purpose of bringing God the glory? What is our mission? And what we're suggesting is, our mission is to make passionate disciples of Jesus. To make passionate disciples. And this comes from Matthew 28:19, which is such a well-known passage for us. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We are to be disciples who make disciples. Have you got that? We are to be disciples who make disciples. And the word passionate, really, well, it wasn't in the text from Jesus' words, but I think it's really helpful to be there because it wasn't really necessary in Jesus' time for the disciples to be passionate when they knew they were probably going to die for following Jesus. But in a world today where people can just sort of, you can just sign up. You can Facebook like Jesus if you want, you know? Like, it means nothing in one sense. Are you a passionate disciple just because you like Jesus, you follow Jesus on Facebook? No. Are you a disciple because you signed up somewhere? You've got that insurance policy in your drawer somewhere? Well, no. And so I think we've included the word passionate because we want more than just an affirmation that I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to be a passionate follower of Jesus. I want you to be passionate. Passion talks about our heart's desire. And if the heart's desire is Jesus, the good news is that we're going to be filled with our heart's desire. We're going to find our heart's desire if it's Jesus. Let me move on to the core values. And New South Wales has had a very easy, good bushfire season, haven't we, this year? There hasn't been too many bushfires. But many years we know that there are people who are told, you've got 5 minutes to grab your valuables and get out because your house is going to burn down. And we know, don't we, what we're going to grab. We're going to grab photos. We're going to grab maybe the pets. They're going to grab maybe the legal papers or anything, those heirlooms, those things that we will lose and forever will lose. Those are the things we value most. If we've got 24 hours, we're going to take the whole lot, aren't we? But what are the things that we value the most? And we as a church have gone through a process in 2014 where we're trying to discern what is it we value most. And we had five things. About on the screen for us. Bible-centered teaching. We think it's the most, these are the five most important things. Bible-centered teaching, where we focus on the Word of God. Loving one another, our focus on the community of God. Becoming like Jesus, the work of the Spirit in holiness, referred to often as sanctification. life as worship, that our whole lives are actually our worship. It's not just what we do here on a Sunday morning. And prayer, the means by which we draw close to God, sharing our concerns. And probably the most concerning thing for us as elders when we went through that process was that prayer was so low down on what we valued. And I hope that if you've been here for the last 2 years, you've seen us increase our desire to make prayer valuable. We want it to live that way. We've put things in place to pray more together. But there was one disturbing omission from those five things. One thing that we really were concerned about, an omission was not there. And that was mission. And so we as an eldership and deacons are going to encourage the church to take on this as a core value. A core value of the things we don't argue against that. You know, we can have an argument against whether we want to paint the church blue or red. That's not really our core value, whether we have a red church or a blue church. But this, as mission, we see God. We see God, don't we, sending Jesus to the earth. And the word send is the word mission. If you go back to the Latin, that's the word we're talking about, being sent. It's a big part of what we need to be. God sent Abraham to a land he did not know. God sent Moses. He missioned Moses to go and see Pharaoh. In the church at Antioch, the church sent, they missioned Paul and Barnabas to go to the churches of Turkey. Westview will send who? Well, we're looking for that. We're saying we need to be looking for that, longing for that. Let me move to vision. I'm going through them quickly, but you'll have an opportunity to think about this. The idea of mission can mean different things to different people. A friend of mine on Facebook reposted this 2 days ago, okay? Listen to this. Okay, so I want a new car. Been doing competitions, doing lotto and visualising. You know, picture of the new car on my vision board, smelling the new car, imagining me driving it, etc. Well, today I'm driving a brand new Toyota Corolla with 17 kilometres on the clock. It smells divine. Oh, perhaps I should mention it's a Hertz hire car which the NRMA treated me while my dear old girl is being repaired. Well, I think this is my practice run. My own new car now, please, universe. 2 years later, she wrote, I'm still waiting. When we're talking about vision, we're not talking about that, okay? We're not talking about naming and claiming and believing until it happens. What we're talking about is that we have very clear understanding of what our purpose of the church is. For some time, this is nothing new. We have a very clear understanding of our mission as a church. Five of our six core values have been very clear, and if you're surprised that we want to suggest mission, then I don't know where you've been, because you've not been here for long, because mission is a no-brainer for us. So when we look at the purpose, the mission, the values that we have, well, we can actually start thinking about what sort of church do we want to be in the future? What is the vision? And I'm talking about broad brush strokes. And I've got a little picture that I whipped up for you. Me and Vincent Van Gogh, this is broad brush picture, isn't it? There's not a lot, the detail's not there. It's broad brush, but it's beautiful, isn't it? We actually get to see something of what he's talking about. But we don't see the birds in the tree. We don't see the little rocks. We don't see the little spiders scurrying along. It's not that sort of detail. And what we're presenting, what we're trying to encourage is, as a church, just have this broad brush picture of what we want to be. Well, I've been talking about what will we look like in 20 years' time a couple of times, has been said. What will we look like in 20 years' time? Well, if the government website is correct on average, I'm tossing up whether to say, put up your hands if you're over 60 and you're male. In your mind, put up your hand if you're over 60, in your mind, if you're over 60 and you're male, or you're over 65 and you're female. Okay, you got your hand up in your mind? Well, the government website says that the average person is going to die, you're going to be dead in 20 years' time, okay? So you're not going to be here. That's the good news, you know, because you're going to be with Jesus. You know, like, yeah, you're going to be with Jesus. But don't think that's sad. But, you know, that's a good thing. You're going to be with Jesus. And we can celebrate that, you know? Like, that is a lovely thing. But what are we going to... But is that going to stop you saying, well, I'm not going to put my time, energy, resources into what we're doing here? Because I'm not going to be around. Those of you who are grandparents, you couldn't say that they're grandchildren, would you? I'm not going to be around, you know, when you're an adult, so I'm not going to worry about you. Well, I personally believe that this next period of the church life we're going to be seeing generational change. And from the start of Westview is when Kings Anglican Baptists we're talking about, started in 1978, where Bob was soon recognised as elder of the church, until my ordination and my role as lead elder about 20 years later. 20 years the church went before I was sort of established as lead elder. For me, it's significant that we're coming up to 20 years. We're coming up to 20 years. And I think maybe I've spoken before that we are maybe looking at generational change. It's not that I want to be away from the church. My predecessor, well, they had to take him kicking and screaming, didn't they? Bob, he was here until he could not be. But when we look at what we might be, this is what we as the elders and the deacons and a group of 22, there's 22 people who've put time and energy into trying to understand this, and this is what we're saying. See if you can see it. In our healthy church where the truth gives birth to worship and fruitful living, so a healthy church where truth gives birth to worship and fruitful living, worship and fruitful living is probably the same thing. We see people wholly dependent on God in prayer. The gospel transforming the lives of those around us. Each person using their God-given gifts. Leaders being raised for ministry and people being sent in partnership on mission. I've used this picture, which you'll see probably.
Would you mind next one, Bill?
I've been using this picture. I like this picture because it's sort of it's that picture of the tree, and the back of it's sort of blurry, isn't it? The top, sort of the distant part's blurry. But what we do know is we're looking at these things: prayer, gospel, leadership, gifts, and partnership. And there's, if you've been here for any time, there's nothing new here. There really is nothing. But all I'm trying to do is bring it together on a thing that we can say, look, this is what we're about. What this vision could be. Prayerfulness, we are dependent upon God in our prayer. And gospel transformation in our lives and in the lives of the people we touch. Did anyone see the guy that I was talking to at the front with the little baby? Yeah. He comes from Iran. He went to Christmas Island. He went to Manus Island. He went to Nauru with his wife. His wife had a miscarriage and had to go to Darwin Hospital to have a curette. he's living, he's been put here, and any time he'll be going back to Manus Island with his son and his daughter, and so he's been put in a house here in Crawford Street, and he's given $600 a fortnight, and that's the extent of it. What does gospel transformation mean for us, the church, in someone like that who comes to the door and just sort of starts talking? Who, and I know some of you people here, and Dave's here, his wife's in China, and there's some of you wives, come here from Australia. You know that the difficulty and the sadness and the insecurity of knowing whether you're going to stay or whether you can't. What's gospel transformation in the lives of us mean when we touch people like that? I just want to see people touch, people finding encouragement, help being found, people finding a voice, the lonely being valued, the old being cared for, the fearful being encouraged, that crime decreasing in Doonside, appreciation of other people increasing, all because the gospel transformed lives. Doesn't it? Is that possible here in Doonside, or are the people of Doonside just too hard for the gospel message? I think not. Imagine this happening all for the glory of God. What might happen then? We might be a people, we're a community where we're using our gifts all for God's glory. We're actually using our time and energy well. We don't have time to sit and watch sitcoms on the television. We don't have time to spend hours and hours on Facebook and all the YouTubes, because actually we've got more important things to do. We're in our community where it's our culture, we don't gossip. We don't put things, people down. We build people up. As the people come in, we might see the people we challenge to serve, and we'll see people actually serve, real servants, and we're going to say, you know, we need to recognise you as a servant. We need to recognise you within our church. We need leaders, and it would be wonderful if we had so many leaders we actually had to export them to other churches who are suffering because they just don't have the leadership there. They don't have the people who with the ability to lead. All for the glory of God. Then people grasp this idea that about purpose, so that the burden for the lost nations might be so much that they say, send me, mission me, send me, and let me be a part of this great picture of all for the glory of God. Let me ask a question. Why can't that be our future as the community of the people of God? Would that be a good reason to exist? Would that be a good reason to try and fail, even if we fail? Can you see yourself a part of that? Some people would like to know a little bit more about maybe my role in the future. I can imagine still being sent out by Westview in partnership, working with churches in need, helping them to rediscover their purpose and helping them move forward. Wendy, myself, the elders and the deacons have not changed their view. We see this is all for the glory of God. What that might look like, I cannot say. I'm not hiding anything from anyone. I don't know what that might look like. I know there's a need. I've already been approached by another church to do an interim ministry, and I've happily said no, it's not the right time. But we want the church here to partner with us. We would never do that without the partnership of the church. So we today are laying this before you, the members of the church. We have developed a daily devotion. We call it 541.
slide there, Bill, if you don't mind.
Thank you, JJ. Could you sort of hang out for us?
Want
help? Yeah, thanks, Janelle. You might have got one of these before last week. Well, here's an insert. Look, booklet number one. It's nice and neat for this. That's stable. You've got it on here. Okay. See, we've got big print ones and little print ones. Don't worry, Facebook. Addicted people, we're going to have it on Facebook. We're going to have it on email. And what we're asking is 5 devotions per week, all on this information I presented today. 5 for 4 weeks. You've got 2 weeks here, we're going to have 4 weeks, so that we can discern one mind for God. 5 for 1 devotions. You will, and we've made a way that you could, if you'd like, there's individual reflections and there's corporate reflections, because you know what, if this cannot be your individual focus, if this cannot be your individual vision, I don't know if it can be the church's vision, because you are the church. And if you have the internet, you can give feedback, and if you like to write your feedback on a bit of paper, if you don't have that, put it in the box, then that's fine. There's number one thing I'm going to ask you to do. Join with us 5 for 1. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is the 30th of April, there's probably a slide, Bill. There's certainly in the bulletin about the Fruitful Church Seminar. 30th of April. Anyone who wishes to attend, please let me know. So there are people here so committed to this that they want to cover the cost, $25. So you're going to have a morning tea, you're going to have lunch, you're going to hear a guy speak, and you're going to get a book. Okay? 30th of April. People are happy to make sure that there's nothing stopping you, so please let me know if you can attend. And now it's over to you. It's up to you, the church. You have the final authority. We're laying before you everything we've got. There's nothing being hidden. There's nothing more. Of course, if we're going to go this way, it means there's going to be a lot of change. But we haven't heard from you to say this is the way. Yes, this is it. And so we're looking for that over the next few months. Let me pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time together. And Lord, we want to be humble in all that we're doing and saying. It's very easy to claim that we speak for you when we only speak for ourselves. So we want to be humble and submit ourselves to your word, to your spirit, and to your people. Lord, change our hearts and minds, I pray. Help us to see things just a little bit clearer. I think there's nothing new here. There's just nothing new to us. But if it's this is a form that is helpful, that gives us more focus, I pray, Father, you would you just affirm that in our minds and our hearts. Father, I pray for Maggie, the guy I spoke to this morning, with his little 11-month-old son, his wife who's at home. Lord, he's a man who simply wants freedom for his family, freedom to be able to live peacefully. And Lord, we know that there are world events happening that has caused him to flee for his homeland. So we just pray, Father, for that family. And Lord, if you show us how to reach out for them, all for the sake of the gospel. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.